How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
Oh, I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM in the Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware area. And I must tell you that people from all over the USA, we get a lot of great responses from people who lived in Philadelphia, moved elsewhere, still want to stay in touch with our daily broadcasts here on 860 and American Workers, and with Barbara Ilnitska and everybody. They all love to hear what we have to say, and I think we're going to have a lot to say today on this last Wednesday of 2022. Hard to believe. We just began winter last week. Today we are, you know, on the last Wednesday of the year, and we're looking forward to a very exciting 2023. First of all, contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in to our broadcast here on 860. And I want to say a very special thank you to our panel members who have helped us for many years, and I hope that they will be able to help us for many years in the future, because what we're doing on this broadcast is historic. Many stations have tried to do a little bit of this, and even some of the TV stations have tried to, you know, do something special to highlight it, but none of it lasted very long. They came and they went. But our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, who is probably Mr. Snowman at this point there in the Buffalo area. Also, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, and I understand that Larkin Conley is celebrating a birthday today, so we have to celebrate his birthday as well. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm always happy to be here with you. I'm Michael Blihash. Well, as we begin our broadcast on this Wednesday, December the 28th, I want to say a special thank you to the many, many people that helped promote December as National Small Business Month. It was well publicized, and my thanks to our panel members, the people who helped us to pay directly for the advertisements that appeared in many newspapers. And also, it was great to see business associations, some news media, and our favorite radio stations that broadcast our commentaries every week, all supporting December as National Small Business Month. That's what it's really all about. And, you know, since the pandemic, we lost a lot of businesses. All you have to do is drive down any street, and you see how many of the businesses have closed in the last year, year and a half, as a result of the pandemic. Many have not been able to revive, but we're trying to make that change, turn around, and see what we can do to help grow businesses, grow jobs, and grow new opportunities for American workers. For several years, we've all seen changes taking place in America and the world as a result of the pandemic. And in recent years, we've also seen a growing number of our supporters really speaking up about the need for employment opportunities and for job skills in the United States, which would really be for the well-being of every American. We have a lot of people that are living in poverty. They're working age, able-bodied people. They have to be retrained so they can go back and do something positive for themselves, be able to support themselves, and not depend on anyone but themselves. So during 2023, we're going to continue to urge all of our fellow Americans to spend more of their dollars purchasing products made and distributed by America's national, regional, and local businesses. That's where it's really all about. And I mentioned this before, and it's announced in the news media from time to time. America has 32 million registered businesses on the books, and they really are the backbone of our nation's economy, and they really need your patronage. All of you that go out to do something, you know, pick something up, look for something. When you go to that store, let the person know that you're a small business supporter. Let them know that you're asking for them to get in more American-made products, because we learned something as a result of the supply chain issue. There were more products made in America than our regional merchandisers were allowing to be circulated in some of our stores. When that supply chain hit, and it lasted a long time, all of a sudden the people who were making things and selling them more locally became a little more distributed. So we have to continue to urge consumers to support America's manufacturers, because they're really doing their best to make the product lines here in the United States. And when we talk about manufacturing, we're not only talking about people working on the line. We're talking about all sorts of jobs, from the office manager, the person who's ordering the stuff, the biller, the tracer, the shippers. There's a lot of things. We have to expand manufacturing also, because the products that we wear, the products we're wearing right now, the furniture and the items that fill our homes, the cell phones, the computers we use, the televisions that we watch every day, the cars that we drive, and thousands of other items should be done more competitively here in America again. Why national leaders and business leaders didn't put a stop to what was happening 25, 30 years ago is still a mystery to me. During the 30 years, a large portion of America's products that were manufactured here for 100 years, especially the more modern products, were sent overseas. And now look what we are stuck as. We are mainly salespeople instead of people who are supposed to be in charge of our own destiny. You know, today we see that 70% of America's economy continues to be based on what Americans buy, but there's something that people are seeing as they go out. You know, you go out and you buy things, you look at the stuff on the racks, you look at the toys. Just take a look at the toys that were there available for the Christmas holiday. And most of it was made foreign. I don't want to say a particular country, you know which one I mean, but they were made foreign. They bought the names up. They changed the names, they united names. It was unbelievable. We lost so much, and I don't understand how our country. Before I go to Mark Andel first today, Mr. Snowman up there in Buffalo, I just have to say, no one stopped our national leaders from asking questions of business leaders as to how can we keep these businesses here in the United States. Henry and I were talking about 2 years ago, and I said, Henry, if you were the person in charge, this is an engineer, what would you do to get more businesses back in America? And his response to me was, I'd make America the best place to do business, make it cost effective to do business in America. And that's really what it's all about. Our business leaders and our national leaders are not talking about that. But let's turn to Mark Andel. Mark, I've been watching so much about you up there without seeing you. I'm wondering if you're out in one of those snow vehicles. How is it up there in that Buffalo area?
Well, Mike, you know, welcome. I hope your Christmas was great. And I hope Larkin's on and Rich with us and Henry. Always making us sound good. Mike, you know, we've been two holiday storms, I call them now, and I'm 56. I've been plowing for 40 years. I've been in every storm physically, and this storm was a good one. You know, Friday it hit, last Friday. My daughter Jess was working at the store. She got in, and you know, remember, 30-day run from Thanksgiving to Christmas, the last premium days are Friday and Saturday before Christmas Day, and we lost them days because last Friday she got in, we had one customer, and then you couldn't see 10 foot in front of you. I let her home, came back, I got an F-350, got the light on. I had a sleeping bag, Mike, to toilet paper, to propane, I've had every survival thing in my truck for the storm. And, you know, we started Friday. I plowed everybody Saturday. You couldn't see Sunday, Monday. Even yesterday we got 6 inches again. 6 inches seems like nothing when we get feet like we do. The city of Buffalo got 4 foot plus. There's still, I just got Tony in here, Junior, and his street's still unplowed. The city of Buffalo's still shut down here. We're not only a state of emergency, but, you know, there was a driving ban right through, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Monday, the holiday. They're starting to open, but the city of Buffalo is going to be closed most of the week. They can't. You got to envision emptying the streets like in Philadelphia with a snowblower, but you can't blow the snow. You'd blow out the window, so you got to blow that into the back of a semi truck, and you got to unload and just use loaders to get these streets. But you got to pull out every stuck car first with equipment. And you know, people this haven't. You know, Buffalonians are pretty tough, but. We had, remember, last Thursday was pouring rain, 40, 50 degrees, and then Friday it went to 0, 10 degrees. So we had quite a swing. It was cold. So a lot of wind, 75-mile-an-hour winds with a lot of snow, and then the lake effect machine kicked in. General Welding we kept open. We lost power, but we got that open because we're Western New York's Truck Equipment Plow Center. But, you know, a lot of storm. This is our second national recognized storm, Mike. First was the Thanksgiving week storm, and then now we got the Christmas. I don't know if a lot of people are moving to Buffalo real soon, but lot of snow, Mike, and it's been, you know, we're finally got some sun out today. They're finally cleaning up, but many stories throughout that storm, and I white-knuckled, head out the window, no lights on the truck. You got a picture driving in 75-mile-an-hour winds with heavy snow squalls and 0 degrees, trying to go down the road and keep it between the telephone poles and the mailboxes and anything else. So a lot of stories. You know, we did somehow pull off some type of Christmas. My daughter Jess said, hey, can I go plowing? I said, you want to get out of the house that bad? So she came with me. But, you know, we made the best out of it. We're tough, but they're unburying. This winter has been a lot of snow. And, you know, good for General Welding. We're West New York's, again, snowplow headquarters. So they broke them, and we're fixing them now.
So, Mark, have you seen how many winters like this have you seen?
Well, you know, back we had a November storm, probably I guess it would be 8-10 years ago, which was a true 8 foot of fallen snow. 8 foot, you know, we're what, 6 foot, Mike, and you know, so that was a tough one. That hit the city. You know, if I'm 20 miles south of the city, if you know, we get it, people care a little bit, but they get it a little more down south. The farmers, they don't care; they're used to it. You know, but south towns, we're in the snow belts, they call it here. But then before that, I lived through the blizzard of 77. You might have heard of 77. I was probably, you know, whatever, 14. I remember being on some snowmobiles, taking the older people with my dad and his friend Milk and whatnot, but riding on the tops of cars. I could hear the skis hit the roofs as we were going, and drifts were as high as wires, 20 foot back then. The best thing they did this time was shut down all the roads in the city quickly Friday. Nobody likes that, but it actually saved. It would have been the storm of the century for sure for us, because once you get the, you know, most people just pull off the road and they stick in their cars. We're past 30 deaths. Some are, you know, some are homeless, but some are in their vehicles. Some are in their homes that went outside, some from shoveling. But it's the highest death toll, I think, from a storm in a long time, from a snowstorm, Mike. So I've seen a lot of storms. I've honestly been in each and every one of them, having 60 driveways to plow when I was younger. But now I've got 18 in our two facilities to keep open. And if you didn't keep up with these heavy snows, when you get 3, 4, 5 foot of snow, you've got to keep up with it, or else you got to bring in equipment like loaders and snow blowers. So I got an F-350 with a Boss snowplow, and, boy, I pat it, and a lot of prayer during the weekend, Mike.
I'm telling you, Mark. It's, you know, we've had a couple of doozies here in Philadelphia area, in the whole tri-state area, but nothing like you have in the Buffalo area. Nothing, yeah, absolutely nothing.
You know, my friend rents equipment, and he was CSX, our railroad, had called him, and they wanted every piece of equipment he had. So he was taking dozers down the road and excavators and, you know, loaders and driving them down the roads. And, you know, they hired all the contractors. The city just doesn't have enough equipment. So they hired contractors. My daughter's boyfriend, Joe, works at a place called Catco. They were called in to clean out the town. So everybody's pitching in on this one. Every piece of equipment anybody has is rented or out right now, trying to open up that city.
Wow. Mark, it's been a year. It's been a year that will not be forgotten. And there's a lot of people saying that with inflation, they're a little disappointed about how the national people haven't been talking about freezing prices here in the United States. And I thought of it when they mentioned that last week. I said, well, Buffalo is going to be getting another storm. I believe they were predicting heavy rain and then followed by the snowstorm. But it is true. There's no talk on the national level about freezing prices on a lot of the things because they caused the inflation, and they should have, you know, they made the prices skyrocket for you, me, and everybody else, and nobody's saying a word.
Yeah, Mike, I want to talk about that. 34 months since COVID was announced, that March 13th, 2020. You know, 34 months of a changed world. And, you know, when you go through a snowstorm and they shut off the town and city, and you get that feeling again, Mike, because you're shut off. You know, people couldn't. They shut our Wegmans, our Tops, our grocery stores were actually shut down this time, which was the first. And it makes a lot of older people uneasy, and it was difficult on a lot of people, especially during the holiday. People don't realize, you know, we a lot of control. They made a lot of the right decisions. But people get in their houses, they get nervous, and it shows you a little taste. Of course, if you lose power, my sister was out of power for 12 hours, but if it's 0 degrees out and 75-mile-an-hour wind, that house gets cold quick. You empty your refrigerator into a tub, and, you know, my business lost power, so you can't operate. So, you know, we go through this survival storm, and it teaches you a lot, but you got to remember these times when I lost the 2 premium days of my 30-day run, the 2 days before Christmas, but most retailers in Western New York and across the country lost them days. You add that to the rapid inflation, the product shortage, worker cultural change, and the recession we're in, and I do call it a recession, and I will more as this year goes on, it'll be announced. We're in what I call is the holiday hangover. Now people will realize, and up in Buffalo it's cold, and your utility bills, with it being 0 and 10 degrees out, are high, and everything's going to start crunching in. I said buckle up a long time ago, but this January is going to be a tough run. This first quarter is going to be a tough run. We just lost more sales, all retailers. Just tough on small business. Weather-wise, economy-wise, and leadership-wise, change has to happen. And maybe this Article 42, there was some agreement to leave it on and in place. Maybe that's a sign, Mike, where somebody said it's just not right having 5,000 to 18,000 people a day dump into a town or country.
No, it's not. It doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, Mark, when people were leaving Europe, they were asking questions. Well, why are the people leaving Europe to come to America? Well, it was because of communism and all the restrictions that people were placing them. So we knew why they were coming. And, of course, in that time period during the communist era after World War II, people were needed in America, and they were welcoming people. But right now we have a large number of people collecting government subsidies, a lot of people living in poverty, and I'm sorry to say we should not allow anyone into our country unless they're coming here according to our legal system. This, what's going on, pretending like it's not happening, it doesn't make any kind of sense to me. You know, yeah. Mark and Larkin, you know, in the new service-oriented economy in America, people receive one paycheck or Social Security check. But in the course of any given month, they receive many, many invoices for basic living services, water, heat, electricity. It's unbelievable. Now, when all of those things keep going up, I'm putting my social worker hat on, going up, it doesn't leave a lot of funds for people to have to do anything that they need to care for themselves, care for their family, because everything is, you know, going toward their regular bills. And many of those invoices that people are telling me that they're getting now are going up, 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 up as a result of the inflation. But, you know, 25 years ago, many of these bills didn't even exist. And those people were getting a weekly paycheck or a Social Security check. And now they have to pay the cable box bill, the internet devices, the cell phones, just to name a few. And those bills keep going up, up, up. So we're, and yet, you know, in America, a lot of that stuff isn't even made. We're bringing all that stuff from foreign countries. All we are is installing the stuff and selling the stuff.
Yeah. You know, Mike, just very, very tough times. When I say worker cultural change, what I'm saying to the listeners and audience, you know, a lot of work became is not a priority to most or a lot of people now. They're looking for the handouts, and that's such a different world. You know, with the different things being handed out, it just messes up the want to work. There's so many signs here that people are still looking for workers, and you can't grow without workers. We have this rapid inflation where prices are just high now. But we, you know, my daughter was just in, she's 20, going to Buff State to be a teacher, just got a 4.0. Works Made in America, just an awesome, you know, I'm blessed with this beautiful daughter. But she was just in, I asked my mother, who's 86, who was giving up, the county came and took her and her brothers and sisters away, five of them at the age of five. She was 5 years old, so I asked her to tell my daughter the story about a half hour ago. But, you know, she said her bed didn't even have a mattress, you know, and she was five and then taken to the home. And the different foster parents she had, and they're basically treated like slaves. And but she ends up meeting my father, who had a tough life, and they came up from poor in Larkin. I'm sure you can relate, Mike. But, you know, I had her tell my daughter Jess, you know, it's holiday and Jesse's out of school, and it was something to hear how far they came together. But they worked, they earned what they have. They had nothing, they didn't even have clothes, and just amazing how far they came. And that's America, you know, that's what you do, you earn a living. And we've got to get that back, patriotic-wise.
You know, Lamar, you just said the right word. They earned a living. People were directed to earn a living. Today, there's too many government programs,
yeah,
and that is teaching the people to be, you know, just sitting back collecting. Well, if I don't get it from this, I'll get it from that. This is not good. In Europe, if you are out of work for 3 weeks, you have to sign up for a training program of some type. Whether you're going to be retrained in what you're doing, you're going to be more of a specialist. Until you get into the another job, which you're more active trying to find a job in Europe than you are in America. I mean, 20 years ago, our unemployment office, when you got unemployed, you showed up physically at that office.
You know, Mike, I think our politicians are going to have work sessions, but both sides get together. What's the top five or top ten priority challenges we have to answer? And they have to sit in rooms weekly and have work sessions and come up with a plan, because they're never going to change just, you know, throwing things at each other.
No, it's going to have to take a terrible recession, because you can't be a leader and act like a victim. It's one or the other. Either you're a leader or you're a victim. There's no two ways about it. You're a leader, Mark. No matter what happens, you move forward with the idea of moving and getting back to normal. Most of these people act like victims. You know, one of the politicians stopped me and is running for another office and said to me, well, I've been in this particular body, council, for 11 years. And she asked me, what did you think of my campaign notice? I said, I didn't like it. And she said, why? I said, because You served in the city council for 11 years. Why didn't you start directing those problems the first year you were in council? You're making yourself look like a person who sat that back and did nothing. Good point. And her assistant who was there said, that's a good point. We're not going to use that line anymore, that I'm sick and tired of watching what happened in the city all these years. Doesn't make sense to me. You were in the council. You were in the highest body. You were elected, not appointed. You were elected by the people, and you didn't do your job.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I just watched a movie called Unbroken. I suggest you and the team and our listeners watch Unbroken. It's an Olympic athlete that got called to war and then just went through hell. And, you know, the statement was, you got to take it to make it. But watch that movie, Unbroken. Just shows you what a lot of our people went through.
You know, if you get a link to that, send that to me. I'll make sure that I post it.
Okay.
I'd like to see that myself. You know, it's what's happening even this morning. I'll give you an idea of how unbelievable things have changed. This morning, there was a group of young people. There's no school this week. And we were in a store. Every one of those people was on their phone, waiting for their sandwich to be made. Or what? It was no conversation between the five young people. As everybody was on a phone, it made no sense to me. I thought to myself, wow, if you could, you know, be so driven by that phone, then you have no communication. Like we are communicating right now. That should have been happening in there. I often think to myself when I go to these places, there was a way to jam these phones. When you come into a particular place, no signal in this place. You have to leave the room to get a signal or go outside to get a signal. Otherwise, we're not communicating. All the leaders, if you look even in, if you look at C-SPAN or one of those, you see all these elected people. They're walking with phones and all right there in the halls of Congress. Why? They're not paying attention to the legislation being discussed. They're looking at their phone. They're sitting there. Even when they had that visitor from the foreign country, he was speaking, and I was watching people looking at their phone. I thought to myself, wow, it doesn't make any sense to me. Can we turn to the birthday boy today? Dr. Larkin Conley, how are you doing?
I was wondering to myself, in the circumstance that Mark was out there with his daughter riding shotgun, shoveling snow, I was wondering if he had a pint of whiskey in between the seats or in the glove compartment.
You know, Larkin, it's funny. I honestly had propane tanks. I had a jumper for my generator. I had jerky. My daughter ate the one pack of jerky. She said, how old is this? I said, I don't know, Jess. And she reads it. It was October, Dad. And then the next one was 2024. I was better. But she was eating my survival food. But I did had a gift from my brother-in-law. There was some Crown Royal in the back just in case. I left it covered. Never used it. But that was in there, too, just in case we were in a ditch for 12 hours, you know. Which was very possible this time.
It's really almost not a very effective road scraper if it doesn't have a pint of whiskey in it in case the driver finds himself in very cold circumstances. Right. That will keep your feet warm from
Absolutely.
The mouth to your feet. Well, thanks for the applause. I appreciate the birthday wishes. I have amazingly have made it 74 years. Wow.
Larkin, wait a second. I have to tell you something. My grandmother was a character, and she would tell everybody that complained about getting a year older or say they got a year older. She would say this, of course, in the Polish language, and we would love hearing what she had to say. She says, well, don't be happy where you are, but every day when you wake up, act like you're 25 years old up until you're 100. When you're 100, you go to three numbers. then you could feel a little older because you've gone, one additional number. So, Larkin, every morning when you wake up, you reverse to 25 years old. Your wife is going to say, oh, my God, where is this guy? What the hell is going on?
Happy birthday, Larkin.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Stolat.
Talk about getting duct tape to the bedpost. That's what my wife would do if I started acting 25. But Mark, I've been reading about Buffalo with great interest, knowing that either you or one of your plows is out there doing the best it can to get that city. 34 people have died in that storm, and it truly is a national tragedy, and certainly a national emergency. And Washington, D.C. has gone home. Our leader is in the tropics, laying on a beach. And we've got a border crisis, and we've got a weather crisis, and we have an inflation crisis. And that entire city decided, well, you know what? We're addicted to spending, and they truly are. Every one of them in Washington is absolutely addicted to spending. So let's spend another $1.7 trillion and go home. Mm-hmm. Virtually the day they spent it, it took off. The president was nice enough to stay home for Christmas. I don't know if he was in the White House or not. I suspect he probably was, but he's now gone to somewhere in the tropics. I don't know where they have him, and I'm sure they've got that island completely tied up with Secret Service and jets flying over and whatever else he demands in protection. But it's just so typical of where we are now. Of course, in addition to the immigration problems that we had, they turned into weather problems in Florida. The temperature got pretty low. Our homeless veterans throughout the country, problem. Our homeless people throughout the country, a problem. And virtually no answer to any of those problems. It's mm-hmm. just unbelievable that they can take the time to pass a bill. They gave $45 billion to Ukraine, $13 billion also in economic support to the government. That's beyond the $45 billion. Emergency disaster assistance. Well, the bill has just been signed, and it doesn't address the problems that we're having right now. It's just more federal money to be sent to Buffalo in support. And I know Mark, this is as good of a small businessman as I know, would say, listen, don't take my money and run it through the Washington, D.C. mill. Send it to my state capital, and we'll disperse the funds as we see fit. But that's not what we do in this country. We send all this money to Washington, D.C., and we let 500 people decide where it's going to go. They funded the January 6th attack prosecutions. They gave them another $2.6 billion for U.S. attorneys to continue with the January 6th attack retirement. Save a TikTok ban. I mean, we can talk about all this stuff, and it's heartbreaking to think that they can sign a bill spending this kind of money when each and every one of these elements should have been discussed and passed on its own legs.
Yes, Larkin, I said that last week, and of the $1.7 trillion, not one penny was designated for job training for our young people here in the United States. There's one thing I must say, which I'm not, very well versed on it yet, but it was announced in the news media that Rowan University, you know, Larkin, where that is across the river.
Yep.
are opening some trade programs there, just like our guest discussed there with us a month ago. And they are trying to do things to get back to normal. A lot of the people who need skills, and they see that a lot of the jobs that are being vacated by people retiring, there's no replacements for them. So they are trying to expand job programs through their college programs that are already in place. I think that's good. However, there's a problem. They receive no response from any people interested in the programs from the national elected or local people, yes, but not from a national level. When you hear of a program like this coming up, the first thing you should do is say, wow, I want to put my name on that as a co-sponsor. Help that forward. Nothing. So the $1.7 trillion should have had something in there for Rowan and other universities that are doing this. We have a high school in Northeast Philadelphia, Father Judge High School. They also are instituting new programs which begin in September, job training right on the spot, where before you used to have to take a bus to go to a training center. Well, you just walk from one building to the next and you're in the training center. A whole new world. And yet, to get funds for this, that's a very big problem. So I think this new Congress has to be put on the carpet. A lot of new people are coming into the Congress, and we have to put them on the carpet. What are we doing to replace great jobs that we need filled here in the United States? And a lot of them, by the way, are very well paid jobs, especially if it's in heating and air conditioning and plumbing and things like that. There's no people around. And you can't get anybody till March. By the time March comes around, you don't need those services. You'll already need air conditioning. It's simply unbelievable.
So I think the leadership in Congress needs January 7th or whatever day they're all sworn in and the new Congress starts. I think it's very important for them to understand that America is the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen. You know, our basic principles of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion are unbelievable and just uncompared to anything in the world. The innovation is unparalleled anywhere around the world. Start with that, new Congress. Start with that. Start with a Pledge of Allegiance every morning and all stand and all salute or put their hands on their hearts. It's an amazing position of strength that we are in. You know, our economy's going through a bunch of things. COVID's one of them, and the damage that COVID did and that our reaction to that very pandemic presented, they still exist. There are still people out there that want to, overreact. There are nations out there like China who are facing and burying people every day from COVID. And I plead for them and I pray for them. But we have to understand that we are in an extraordinary position of strength, that we are an unbelievable nation like no other that's ever been created by God anywhere in the universe that we know of. So I think if Congress reminds themselves of that position of leadership that we're in, and they somewhat start taking drugs to relieve this addiction to spending that they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, it's gotten to a point that they're so lazy and so unwilling to compromise that if they have a problem, small problems, none of their big ones, they just throw money at it.
Mm-hmm.
this is just for money. None of that money creates a sustainable answer to the issues and problems. So, Congress, remind yourself of the position of strength that you're ruling from. Be mindful of how important the United States of America is to the survival of the planet.
The planet, yes.
And go from there.
Well, you Larkin,
we didn't do anything in this $1.7 trillion for the Afghan problem. And those women over there have now been told, the women of Afghanistan have now been told, they're not only not welcome in college, which came out very early, they may not go to high school or grade school now. Women are not allowed in a classroom anywhere in the country. But we got out of there because we had spent a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, we can be so stupid.
You know, Larkin, you're right. We are the most powerful nation in the world. One of the things that disappoints a lot of our people is, number one, we don't control our borders and haven't controlled our borders for some years. We tried, but always there was something to interrupt the system. We are the most powerful nation. We have to start acting like it. And also, I believe we talked about this a long time ago, and maybe this last Wednesday of the year is a good time to remind everybody that we should have a balanced budget in the United States of America. That alone would help make our elected people understand that you just can't keep waving dollars around that you don't have. They're talking about already this morning. I heard it on the radio. The first thing they want to do is raise the debt ceiling. Another $2 trillion. You know, and then in probably another trillion after that. We're $32 trillion in debt now.
Wow.
Every child being born today is going to be stuck paying back that debt.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talk about New Year's, guys. We got a brand new year, 2023. I always get excited with New Year's, but we've got a tough first quarter coming up. You know, tough on the middle class, tough on the fixed income. Like you said, all this spending, boy, Larkin, you'd know if I could print my own money, I probably would. But you got to bring in more than you spend out, and the government just doesn't get it, and they keep printing and putting money in. God knows where it goes. But we've got a very tough first quarter, and I think you're going to be hearing about it. I don't think they can hide it, but we got to come up with answers to help everyone through this start of the next year.
Yep.
And Mark, somewhere along the line, they have to recognize this addiction. You know, the first way you cure any of your children or people that you're involved with of a very bad drug habit is to get them to recognize that they, in fact, do have an addiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Washington, D.C. does not understand that it has an addiction. And the disgraceful fact that Biden is in the tropics laying on a beach right now is so emblematic of the lack of concern that Washington, D.C. has outside of the Beltway to the American citizens. Let's just spend some money. We'll spend some money. I thought it was great.
You know, Larkin, I'd like to start a new push. I don't know if it'll go anywhere. But we should have a balanced budget amendment on the national referendum for the next election. You know, every state has a balanced budget amendment. You take in a dollar, you can pay out a dollar. The federal government is different. The federal government is supposed to be there. If there's an emergency, an unbelievable emergency, then that's fine. But just to keep sitting there in committee and I'd like this and I'd like that, you know, this doesn't make any kind of sense. And yet when they say we demand it and the caucus demands it and there's only a 50-50 balance in the Congress, that's one of the reasons many people tell me, Michael, as crazy as it sounds, I think we need three parties in America, because there's two of them are just fighting each other, but there's no third party to sort of like help bring it. No, we two agree and one don't agree, so you have something else going on. The balanced budget amendment may be helpful.
So here's my concern. I think your wish has gone from a three-party system to a four-party system, because I believe that Donald Trump, when he receives his comeuppance from his own party for what has been going on, that he's going to create his own party. And at that point, I can't even imagine what this country is going to be put through in order to get by that problem and that issue. There are a lot of learned people that are predicting a civil war, and that this country cannot survive another onslaught from Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see. But I unfortunately think that he's going to create his own party, and that it's going to rip this country right in half. It really will. We need answers in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, as a Republican, it's not in the current situation we're in. It's not Donald Trump. And he's not going to sit down, because he obviously, thinks that he can, overcome any issue and any problem. And in that respect, I mean, he is a pretty amazing guy. But I'm sorry, what happened to this nation during his presidency is it's almost hard to understand and to swallow the end result, which is a level of hatred in this country that I've never experienced before in my life.
I agree with that. You know, Larkin, if Mr. Trump had stuck to the business abilities and just kept focusing on that, maybe the press would have not been able to just eat and eat.
Well, they ate him alive, yeah.
They ate him alive, yeah. And it broke up our country. It caused more division in our country. You know, Larkin, during his time in office, there was more discussion about using our tax dollars to get boys and girls back into the job training programs. Now that he's out of office, there is no one to even discuss something like that, because when he was talking about it, also in Obama's time, I have to say, in President Obama's time, they discussed it as well. They were saying, and my argument throughout the entire situation was, you are using our tax dollars to educate America's youth. And that was during Obama's time. Then when Trump came in with his ideas that we have to get back to America first and all, that should have been on the table, but it could never get on the table because there was always too much controversy. And I don't think it's good for us to move backward looking to support the past, but to start pushing to support the future and look for people in the elected body right now in Congress who can help us move things forward in this country. Believe it or not, people like the idea of the balanced budget amendment. That gives people more opportunities to sit at the table and discuss what are we going to put in and what are we going to not put in. Because we only have a dollar, we can't spend a dollar and a half. It's as simple as that.
We only, listen, as an aside, I personally think that Donald Trump had more figured out than he's getting credit for now. And I think history will show that as presidential policy and directives are concerned, he wasn't all that bad. He just had an ego that he controlled. He was he is void of an ability to lead, because there's no level of ego recognition that ultimately satisfies him. I've never quite seen it before. I've worked and been around some huge egomaniacs in my life, but I've never quite seen anything like this, and it affects his ability to lead the country. Now, once in there, his policies and his theories, to me, have been more solid than they have been weak. And people who don't like even the sound of his name will continue to say he was the worst president we ever had. Well, it depends on what you're discussing. It genuinely does. It's just like Dick Nixon. They just like to say, well, he's going to replace Nixon as the worst president we ever had. And that's, you know, Nixon probably was the best foreign policy president that we ever had, ever. And got more accomplished than most presidents.
And, Larkin, even as I mentioned before, when some people in the teachers, National Teachers Conference and all, during even President Obama's time, tried to promote the idea of restoring more things so that boys and girls can graduate from school with more of a job skill behind them, that was never, ever able to be pushed forward. They would come forward with the idea and they'd say, okay, we'll put it on the back burner for this year and maybe next year, and then it turned out maybe next year, maybe next year. So there's a lot of things that someone has to introduce publicly, more publicly, and then we'd be able to get some of these things moving forward. Because right now, our boys and girls are graduating with a nice certificate who really said, wow, what are you going to do tomorrow? You may have a problem having that question answered. You know, we as the taxpayers, the balanced budget amendment, I'm all for that. And people have told me when I mentioned it at events and even on the radio, they said that's really what it is. Because just like us, we're getting a weekly paycheck or a monthly Social Security check. We can't spend more than we take in. And yet government keeps moving its balanced budget amendments on and on and on. Mark, you would like to have another division of something in your operation. You'd like to build a better, you know, better operation totally, but you don't have the money. You can't do it.
Absolutely. You know, with capital, we would be so far, but, you know, we've been hit by a lot of things through the last years, and some nobody can control, but the ones that you can control, like government leadership, we just wish they'd get their head out of you-know-what and get going here, because we got a beautiful country, and you just can't keep riding on coattails.
Well, you know, it's some of the organizations in the not only Pennsylvania, but nationally, what are they doing to try to stay afloat? They are putting a freeze on everything, which is not good, because this year that all of their utility bills and all are going to continue to go up, and you can't take in the same dollar that you did in the year 2021 or the year 2020 when you have inflation that's going to take 20 or 30% more of your dollars. So you put, you know, capital changes, improvements, fixing things, you put that on the back burner. This is not good for America. And Mark, you're absolutely right. 2023 is going to be a slowdown year. Many people are telling me they're preparing for the worst.
Oh, it's not going to be a good year at all.
I'm telling you.
I don't think there's an economist alive that isn't predicting. And here's the thing. This problem does not belong to the United States of America. Everybody's in trouble. Everybody's got problems. Mm-hmm. England is laden with identical problems to ours. Inflation, a weakened economy, unbelievable migration into their country. Unbelievable. Out of control, just like ours. And so it's, you know, you can't run away from this problem to any other place, because this is a worldwide issue. And, you know, there are times when you look at it and you go, well, that's okay. We can look to the European economy to pull us out of the ditch.
No.
And yet it's so bad over there now, Ford's closing their plant. Ford says, we can't operate here. We got to get out. It's, you know, all of this is going on around the world. People come to us, unfortunately, because they know of our addiction.
Yes.
To spending.
And they know that they can influence somebody in Washington to go along with that. You know, Larkin, when things were starting to really grow in America, our cable systems, the cell phones, why didn't we have people in Washington say, we want to help this grow because this is going to be something big in America? Instead, they sat back and did nothing, and they took everything overseas to save pennies but charge us dollars.
And that was everybody. I mean, there's a long list of people to be blamed for that, a long list.
Well, when does that list end? How do we end that?
Listen, I'm going to give you the famous quote. I'm going to say two important words. Made in America. I mean, we've got every president saying it. And,
right.
So it's that's going to happen. The thing is, you know, how do you meet the cultural changes in worker attitudes? How do you change or involve or correct? I don't know whether they even need to be corrected, but we're going through a lot of cultural changes, and it's going to be very, very difficult to react to those changes.
Well, Larkin, happy birthday. Mr. Snowman, Mark Andel, I'm wishing you the best. And Henry, thank you so much for all of your great work. And our thanks to Rich Logis, who's on a special assignment, continues on his assignment, to all of our special guests throughout the year. We're going to make 2023 a very interesting year. And many of the things that we discuss, we're going to ask to be discussed in Washington, D.C. Until
Larkin, happy birthday. Have some beer and happy New Year's, guys.
Stay warm. Your weather down there. Send some of that weather up to send some of that weather up to.
You don't want any of this. It's 62 degrees and there's not a cloud in the sky. You don't want any of that, do you?
I wouldn't know what to do in that, Larkin. What would I do?
until we gather next year. God bless you. God bless America. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Henry. Happy New Year to all of our listeners.